Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Yes,
hello? Yes, hi. Hi, this is Louis Gregory.
Yes, I'm waiting for Clifton here.
Y'all on the Jess Chicago show?
Who am I speaking with?
Yes.
It's
K-Rose.
Hello?
Yes, it's
Pierce. Yes.
I'm trying to get my guests to tune in.
This is Hank Hicks, Clifton Pierce.
Okay, Henry Hicks, how are you, sir?
I'm great. That's right, you know me as Henry, not Hank.
I show you right. Okay, I'm glad you're on board. Who else we got out there? How about my concert promoter from Wisconsin?
Louis Gregory. How you doing?
Okay, Mr. Gregory is there. Great. Glad to hear from you, Gregory. Sharon Lewis, are you with us, Sharon? Sharon Lewis, are you with us?
Hey,
on Sharon
you.
Lewis? Okay, who is that, Doc?
Yeah, I'm in the house. What's going on? How y'all doing?
Doc's watching us, making house calls. Okay. And we also got a prominent civil rights advocate. And I'm going to let him tell you who he is. And his thing is all about reparations. Are you there? Okay, can we get started? Henry, let me start with you. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, one of the reasons why I brought you on the show, because you're part of the school board. And I want you to tell them a little something about yourself, your background, educational background, your occupation, and we're going to talk about what's going on with Chicago Public Schools.
Okay. I was born and bred in Chicago, Illinois, went to Park Manor and Charles S. Dineen Elementary School. Then from there I went to Hyde Park High School. When I graduated in 1966, in the fall of 1966, I attended Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia. And I majored in sociology, and when I finished, I stayed there and worked in they called it mental retardation then. We just called it mentally challenged state program in Chamblee, Georgia, suburb of Atlanta for 3 years, and then I came back to Chicago.
Okay, we played Little League baseball together.
Yes, we did. We grew up playing Little League baseball 62 years ago.
My goodness, don't tell them. Well, listen, as we speak, you're working in the Chicago school system, and right now we're having a big problem here in the school system where the mayor wants the kids to come to school starting tomorrow. And what do you say about that? And tell us about your school and how your school is different from others.
Okay, our school is a selected enrollment elementary school located at 1260 West Adams, across the street from the Policeman Training Center and Whitney Young Magnet High School. We have a classical / neighborhood program. So we deal with both levels of kids. We have a plethora of different races that attend there, and the kids are pretty brilliant. We right now, we're none of the kids are attending in person. They're remote. And we're going back and forth with the teachers union. I'm not with the teachers union. I'm with the paraprofessional union, which is different. And I've been a paraprofessional for 22 years with mentally challenged kids in groups and in individuals.
Okay, let me ask this here. What's the difference in the curricular and the supplies that your school has per se to some of the schools on the south side? Where's the difference at?
Oh, there's a vast difference. I call it the hood and the good. In the hood, they don't, I don't know why, but they don't get the same things that we get. We have top-of-the-line computer program, and we can get the top-of-the-line computers, and we offer languages that are challenging that they don't offer in the inner city, of which we still are in the city. But we have Mandarin and ESL, you know, and different types of challenging programs that come at the kids' brains and make them have to think and make them have to talk about what's on their minds and how they can improve their learning methodology, you know.
Okay. Are they actually having better grades than, say, the inner city kids?
Yes, they are. But you got to understand where they're coming from. In the inner city, we come up different than they do. They come up with two parents. Sometimes we come up with two parents, but their parents are more into the professional field, whether it be corporate business, politics, information technology, and so on and so on. And whereas they're more white collar, and in the inner city, our parents are more blue collar.
Okay. Henry, I'm going to let you hold it there for a minute. Mr. Cosby, are you there with us? Mr. Cosby? I was waiting on Mr. Cosby to come in. Mr. Cosby is 100 years in the civil rights, and he's a big, strong advocate of reparations, and he's been working on it for years, and I wanted to hear a little background on him. But let's go back to, let's go back to my concert promoter. Greg, let's tell us a little something about you and what you're working on and your background.
Okay, my name is Louis Gregory. I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm an independent major publisher. I just got a three-year deal with Universal Music Group, new digital media deal. I got over 30 lifetime digital licensing deals, like Apple, TikTok, North America, Salmon. Music charts placements we do as well. Right now I got an artist who just platinum, did over 30 million radio plays globally. K-Ro,
I'm with John. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Okay. Right now we are looking for investors. Investors on to invest in project. Also, too, I'm a TV owner, IPTV. I got that out of Universal, 5 TV channels and 5 radio stations. And just got along with Northwestern Bank. They banned us working out that deal. But we are looking for investors, for music investors. My goal in the music industry is to at least this in 1 year put out 100 music charts, songs, 100 plaques. My goal is to reach 100 platinum plaques in 1 year.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to hold
Kansas
you right
Jimmy
there.
Hendricks.
Okay. I'm going to hold you right there, and I'm going to come back to you. I just want them to get a little idea of who you were. But, Doc, let's get your report, your annual or weekly report on what's going on.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. Before I do my report, I got a couple of questions for our guest. Henry, in your 22-year career plus, what's the most rewarding thing working with mentally challenged youth?
Well, I had one I can think of. His name is Isaiah Brown. He was autistic, and also he couldn't get his way. He would have fits, and I was the only one that could relate to him because I would let him act out because he wanted the attention. And from there, after he calmed down, we would talk. He was brilliant. He was super intelligent. And in seventh and eighth grade, he would tell the science and math teacher, "I can teach this better than you." And I would start laughing to myself. And she would say, "Okay, so if you can, step right up here and let me see you teach the class." And he would do it. So Isaiah Brown went from Skinner West to Whitney Young to UIC, and he graduated. So I'm really enthralled about that.
So do you know what he's doing now? Have you had a chance to keep up with him at all?
No, I haven't, because I've been so involved with working at the school and creating a podcast and a game app and a plethora of many things that I haven't had the opportunity to. But I still have his mother and father's number, so I'm going to call them. They're both attorneys, and so I'm going to call them to see how he's getting along.
Sounds good, man. I like that good in the hood thing. That was cool. I understood that very
Thank
well.
You, man. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Continue. Keep doing what you're doing, bro. Okay.
So Doc, give him a little background on. We got a lot of new listeners,
yeah.
Doc. Why don't you give him a little background on you?
Okay. Good evening. How's everyone doing? My name is Dr. Mike Washington. I'm a pharmacist, been a pharmacist on the South Side for 26, 27 years. I went to Xavier University. In Louisiana, went to high school, went to Kenwood and Hyde Park, so I'm very familiar with the South Side. Like I said, it's a pleasure to talk to you all about the COVID situation. It's interesting to me because, you know, I got a lot of my parents, my mother's older, my mother and father-in-law, they're elderly as well, so, you know, it's important that I keep up on abreast of what's going on with this COVID thing. So thank you, Cliff, for having me on the show. So this week, all the numbers are pretty much going up a little bit. In Illinois, we have 1.13 million total cases, and that's up 3,296 from last week. We got 21,000 plus deaths. That's up 66 deaths. And in the United States, those totals, we got 26.1 million total cases of COVID. That's up 134K. And we have 4,039 deaths, so that's up 2,641 deaths. And worldwide, we're at 103 million. Of those 103 million total cases, we got 56.8 million of those that have recovered, but 2.22 million people have died. And in Illinois right now, as of yesterday, we got 2,600 people in the hospital from COVID. 522 of those are in the ICU and 284 on the ventilator. And for most cases, you know, if you're in the ICU, 8 out of 10 patients, once you get on the ventilator, normally only 2 out of 10 survive. And the thing about this COVID vaccine and people dying is that it's a traumatic experience, because think about it. When you die, you normally, your loved ones are around you, someone's there, you know, to help comfort you. But people are dying on Zoom, and these nurses and doctors are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder because they're used to seeing gunshot wounds on the weekend here and there, but they're not used to dealing with this, and nobody's really talking about that at all. And that's something I think we need to focus on and make sure those people, they're burnt out and they have PTSD. Go ahead. Who said something?
Well, I was going to say, what's going on with these mutations that are happening?
You said what's going on with them?
Yeah, I mean, are they steadily splitting out and we don't have a vaccine for them or what?
Well, yeah, we're working on the vaccine. We've given out 1.8 million doses delivered to Illinois, and we've taken 945,000 of those. So that number is picking up, but you got these variants that are now being found, the mutations, where basically, you know, the COVID virus, it's an organism. It wants to live, too. It doesn't want to die. So it's changing its shape as it sees the vaccines coming at it. You know, it's like metamorphosis. It's changing because it doesn't want to die either. It doesn't know it's killing people. It's just an organism, and it's doing what it's supposed to do. So they're coming out with the vaccines. Y'all know that already. Actually, in Chicago, I don't know about, you know, where everyone else lives, but you can try to get an appointment at Walmart or Walgreens. You got to be 65 and over, a healthcare professional, or have more than two health conditions like blood pressure, diabetes, cholesterol, et cetera. And a lot of people are canceled, so they have these vaccines, and so they want to use them up so they can order more. So check with your local Walgreens and Walmart, wherever you live, if you meet that. And one other thing that's been happening real quick, and I'm going to wrap up here. The Hispanic population had a 1,000% increase in their COVID rate in January. They don't know why, but I'll be looking into that to give you all more information on that next week. And that's my update on the COVID. And I got one more thing I want to say, too, before we move along. When we talk about reparations all the time, to me, Cliff, it seems like first step in reparation to me would be to say, okay, you're trying to repair a relationship with someone if you're doing reparations. So first of all, people have to admit that they did something wrong. And I think that's the first step of reparations before we get into the money and who's going to get what. Those people that did that to us as African Americans need to admit that they did something wrong. And that's hard for them to do. That's very hard. And I think that's the first step of reparations before we get any finances. We know all the things that we should get. But the first thing, you have to admit that you did something wrong. That's it for me.
Okay, you know, what that reminds me of is that one of the reasons why Trump didn't pardon himself, because in order to pardon...
Yeah, Cliff, I lost you.
Hello?
Hello? Yeah, I'm still here. This is Doc. I'm still here. Who's that, Henry or Gregory?
Yeah, this
Gregory?
Is me, Mike. This is Henry. Where is Cliff? We lost Cliff?
Yeah. What we should do is hang up and dial back in. Y'all know
hold
that?
On.
I can give it to you.
Hold on. No, this is Candace. Can you guys hear me? The co-host?
Yeah, yes, Candace. How you doing, sweetheart?
Good. How are you? You? I guess my mic was off. I was trying to ask a question.
Yeah, okay, I wonder.
Yeah, Cliff, you still want to... I had a question for Doc. As far as the COVID statistics are concerned, when it first started out, it was more of a... It was hitting a certain ethnic group of people, a group of people, and it switched. Do you have specific data or statistics on what ethnic groups are being hit the hardest or have passed away? You know, the African Americans
I understand what you said, Kennedy. Initially, like you said, because, you know, as African Americans, our health care is not up to where it should be. So we had a lot of underlying conditions, you know, diabetes, cholesterol, blood pressure. And so when you have all those things going on and that's stressing your immune system and you get COVID, it's like it's too much for your body to deal with. It can't juggle all of those things. You know, your body is like a balance. It's perfect. But when it gets out of whack, if your immune system is trying to fight all these battles, it's just too much. And plus COVID, you know, it interferes. It's an anti-inflammatory. So your lungs fill up with fluid, and you—that's what you pass from. You can't breathe because that's what the whole COVID, the messenger RNA, that's what it does. It makes your body go into an anti-inflammatory, which is inflammation and swelling. So your lungs fill up with fluid. That's why they have to put you on a ventilator to help you try to breathe. So that means you're going down. You about to check out because you can't breathe, right? If your lungs fill up with fluid, you can't breathe. So if you can't breathe, party's over. And
okay, so are the as far as somebody's checking out, so how many black people are checking out of the hospital and surviving such a horrible disease?
Well, like I stated earlier, I don't know if you heard me. When people go to the ICU generally and you get on a ventilator, only 2 out of 10 people survive that, regardless of what color you are. So I'm sure that population, you know, it hit us first. But I don't have a...
What about Hank Aaron and Cicely Tyson? Do you know if they took the vaccine, Cicely Tyson and Hank Aaron?
No, I don't know.
Well, I can say this here. I can say this much. Hank Aaron, the week before he passed away, and that was one of my favorite baseball players, they showed him on TV, which I hadn't seen him for years, and he looked very healthy. He took the shot, and a week later he was dead.
Okay.
And from what I and it's kind of funny because they have not mentioned the fact that he had just taken that shot. They brushed right over that, you know, that he had taken that shot. You know, and he took the shot trying to show black people how important it is to take the shot. And it didn't work for him. He had no ailments before that they spoke of. Okay. And Candace, let me ask you something. I'm trying to reach Mr. Will Cosby.
Will Cosby, Will Cosby, are you on the air? Press 1. You're on the welcome to the Justice Chicago show. You got a packed house, Cliff. I got to tell you, it is packed. Our lines must be completely filled. But Will Cosby, is this the reparations?
Yeah, I wanted to have a long talk with him.
He's not on the air.
I spoke with him and gave him instructions on actually how to, get online. But and like I say, we have a problem, Candace. Our show is outgrowing itself, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're at the point now we'll just be people just be lining up to listen or get on our show. But in the meantime, while we try to see if Mr. Cosby can work his way in, let's go back to Greg and let Greg tell us about the music industry and how do we become the promoters that Motown was. How can we turn Chicago into the new Motown?
Oh, okay. Easy. Well, all you have to do is, since the COVID, it brought music industry back to the basics, and that's radio. Radio ain't never died and never will. So it's the radio. People are at home more, so now people want to hear, they want to see. So it's better now for independent artists to be discovered and bought and streamed even more now because people home.
Okay.
So
radio,
and that's what we specialize in. We place singles that we pick on the music charts all across the world. Here in the United States, it's a lot of politics, so I ain't going to even touch on that. But around the rest of the world, they love African-American music. They love our culture always, and they pay top money, more than the United States. So,
okay.
The internet.
By the way, did you tell them who your kinfolks is?
Jimi Hendrix is my grandmother, little cousin, first cousin on her daddy's side. He's named after her daddy.
Okay. Now, what about this artist of yours that's been running me crazy and showed me the biggest plaque I ever seen for a recording artist? Tell us about that.
Well, last year on the 25th, July 25th, we release Kevin Cairo, real quick single. And it would it played over 30 million commercial, 85% commercial FM radio stations around the world. It was on the European music charts for 20 straight weeks. We did 15 weeks on three worldwide music charts and a European. We did 9 weeks with global indie and European and worldwide. And then we did 1 week with all four of them. That's global. So we're about to release our second track, Earthquake. It's a dance song. It's something for all ages. So that will be released no later than March. We've been approved for it to be on the music charts. And like I said, we are looking for investors, and we work with all genres. My background, in our family, all male children get taught the music industry at the age of four, regardless if you're going to do it or not. So Jimmy started that. So by the time we get grown, we know how to do the business in our sleep. So it's nothing new.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now are you willing to take on other local artists that some of them to be coming to me all the time? Are you willing to take a look at them?
Since Black Lives Matter, you know what our aim is for independent artists to bring them up, to get them to be financially independent, to show them where their money is, how to get their money. Because in this industry, it's all about business. And if you don't know the business, you will never receive the money you should be getting. So that's what we do. We are publishers. We've been around. Me, myself, my first deal was in 1992. I got a single deal with Galactic Records, which is affiliated with Sony. And at that time, I did a showcase. And Baby, of Cash Money, Eric Benet, Keno Moore, Cuckoo Cow, who else was in? All of us was in the same spot in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in our deals. So I came on that era.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know what? I'm gonna get back to you again, because right here on 64th and King Drive, Parkway Gardens, we got five rappers who are tops in the league now. One of them, which had just gotten killed, which was King Von down there in Atlanta. Then we got Lil Durk, Keith. All those boys came right out of that one little block neighborhood. And we got to get these kids to come back home and invest. You know, when they say that, you ask them, man, what you doing on the corner? Oh, man, I'm just holding down the corner. I want them to take that money they make, because they're making plenty of money. And instead of holding down the corner, start buying the corner, buy the block. So I want to talk with them like that, and I do have access to them. But I'm going to flip back to Henry, because I want you all to know. I tell you what, let's take a musical break for a second. Then we come back at them, Candace.
Okay.
Trying to find my love. I've got to find the love.
Hey,
that's a little
right.
Jimi Hendrix for you guys.
Yeah, listen, 20 years later, that was Bobby Hutton. We had him on the show this summer with his hit 20 years later. He might be listening to us. And the thing about Bobby was the first recording artist to be on Soul Train in L.A. That's Bobby Hutton living out of Chicago right here. And he came back with that a few years back, 20 years later, and it's showing up a stepper's cut. Also, I want to talk about our sponsor for a minute, Trust Me Vodka. Okay, Trust Me Vodka is a vodka that came on board with us as a sponsor of our radio show, and they're also going to be sponsoring our TV show. And the thing about Trust Me Vodka is that it's organic. It has zero sugar in it. Zero sugar and zero carbs. Excuse me. And zero carbs. So, therefore, when I found out that I was a diabetic, I looked up the book and found out what alcohols I can drink. And the first thing they said, you cannot drink dark pop, you cannot drink dark whiskey. So, Trust Me, vodka is going to be perfect for you. I'm bringing it to the Midwest on February 15th. We'll be in town, and we'll be premiering Trust Me, vodka. And we're also going to be shooting our TV show. We're going to be shooting a pilot. You want to tell them about that, Candace?
Yeah, I would love to. Yeah, so I am excited about this pilot. We've it's finally come upon us, the date. It's going to be called It's Justice Chicago, but we're going to bring him to the television screen. He's going to be our new Mr. Rogers. So, I mean, this is going to be an extraordinary project. Anyone on the air that's interested in being a part of the project, that wants to be amongst the first people that we interview, that Clifton interviews, please feel free to reach out to myself at 1-800-378-8119, extension 808. I mean, that's about it. We have Trust Me Vodka, which is based out of San Diego. They're a sponsor, so we're having that. Clifton can tell you more about the logistics on the grand opening of his bar, right? Your friend has a bar out there.
Yeah. I'm gonna keep y'all abreast of that. But the bottom line, I'm bringing Trust Me Vodka to the Midwest, and some of you may have seen on my Facebook page what a beautiful bottle that it is. But listen, I'm gonna tell first thing. I was gonna do a shout out to some of the people in Chicago that this past 2020 that I've had working relationships with. We partied, we did this before all this pandemic came on and everything. But just before I came on the air, I got a phone call that one of Chicago's icons, Mr. Herman Roberts. Okay, some of you all in Chicago, you all were made in one of his hotels. Herman Roberts owned Roberts Motel. Herman Roberts owned Herman Cab Company. And I could go on and on. He was friends with Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., Count Basie, Duke Ellington, Dinah Washington, Mahalia Jackson. I could just go on and on all the different people that have interacted with him. And one of the reasons why that he got in the hotel business was because our black entertainers had nowhere to stay. They couldn't stay in the hotels downtown, so they had to stay with friends and relatives when they came to town. And Herman opened up Robert's Motel. First thing he opened up was room, the 300 over there on 66 and King Drive. And that's where he gained prominence. And what's so amazing about that particular place, he opened up, the stage came up at the floor. So he was very innovative with that. And he just passed away from when I got a call over just before we came on the air about that. But I want to tell another story. I want to tell another story. This guy's name was Winslow Jeffries. Winslow graduated from Southern Illinois, okay? And I hadn't seen him in 10, 15 years. I'm hanging out at a club on 75th Street called the 50-yard line, and Winslow come in there looking for me. And I said, hey, man, what's going on? I ain't seen you in 15, 20 years. He said, Cliff, I've been living in New Mexico, and some guys have given me the Midwest Territory for this new thing that's going to be the thing of the century. And I knew the one guy that can help me get it out there and get it to the right people is you. So I was looking for you to help me put it out there. Okay? And so when he told me what it was, I went around to some of Chicago's black millionaires. Bob Hughes over Rio Movie Company, Bobby Chappelle, Isola White, just various business people that I went to and told them about this new thing coming out. None of them took advantage of it. And a year later, every time I saw one of them, Crip, I wish you had listened to me. I wish I had listened to you. You know what that was, Candace?
What?
You know what he brought in Chicago? ATM
machine.
What
was it?
He brought the first ATM machine. The first ATM machine. Never heard of. And I'm telling them that you don't even have to put the money in. They're going to bring the machine in. They're going to put the money in it. They're going to pay off. They're going to refill it every time. Nobody would believe in it. And so now, years later, every time I see an ATM machine, I just think about that. And Winslow's so rich now, I ain't never heard from him. Okay? Now, one of the reasons why I'm telling that story is that, once again, a situation has come to me where we could be in on the ground floor. So, Henry.
Yes.
I need you to tell them about this air purifier and this necklace that we have that fights the coronavirus. Tell them about it.
Because of COVID-19, touching surfaces or breathing air is no longer safe. The most powerful air and surface purification technology ever discovered is the Valera Air and Surface Pro with Active Pure technology. Valera, that's capital V-O-L-L-A-R-A. It was founded by Chairman Joe Urso, who's out of Dallas, Texas. He's the Active Pure chairman and the CEO of the company. It's FDA approved. It reduces 99.9% of airborne SARS-CoV-2 virus particles within 3 minutes in a 3,000-foot square room. The testing was performed on Valera Air and Surface Pro and Aeris Pure and Clean units, which were tested while running only Active Pure technology at the lowest setting. All of the purification technologies were disabled. On CNBC on 12/29/20, they showed They told you about everything. It's patented. It works by propelling, disinfecting molecules in the air, destroying pathogens in the air and on surfaces. It seeks and destroys them quickly, whatever you breathe or touch. Mm. It pierces the shell of the virus and kills it from within or wherever it may be in the room. You can have it installed or it can be portable. It's proven by science, NASA, and multiple third parties. Lifetime
warranty. How many states has he been testing this in?
So far, Cleveland, Texas, Major League Baseball, the Ace Games, State Capitol Building, Mississippi State University, and the problem here is that he knows not a lot of people. And so my buddy came to me, and when he came to me, he knew that I knew everyone. And might I add that everything that everybody is talking about here is so important to our social and moral uplifting, strengthening our spiritual base, man, as black people. You know, I'm not a racist, but I'm a realist. And we have to understand that we have the ability at this point to help try to save a lot of people from dying, no matter what color they are, from this killer disease. I've already received my shot. I got the Moderna vaccine on January 25th at 2:30 at Walmart on 83rd and Stewart in the hood. I had no reactions to it, but my 72 years old is different from most individuals 72 years old. I've never drank, smoked, or did drugs. I've always worked out and exercised deep off into karate and a whole lot of other stuff, and I eat right. So I don't have any underlying illnesses, thank you, Lord. You know, but I'm I didn't expect to get anything happening, you know. And so the bottom line is Valera is committed, and I'm going to end on this, is committed to providing a life of healthy living, financial independence, and the freedom to live life on your terms. Also, as you reverted to, talked about, Cliff, the necklace. We have an ionic air necklace that destroys also the SARS-CoV-2 virus within anybody within 4 feet of you. So it's $100 a piece. Whereas the air purifier goes for $1,500. But if you sell it in bundles of 10, you're going to get a larger discount. And we're talking about hospitals, entertainment. I know a lot of people in entertainment. I've been in the music all my life. Used to sing a lot of national commercials, wrote a couple of songs with the Emotions back in the 70s.
Bless you.
Samuel L. Jackson and I are real close. That's when we went to school together. He was crazy as a Betsy bug, and still is. And
okay.
So anyway, we can.
And you are the Morehouse man, right? You from Morehouse?
Right. The school where Dr. King matriculated. Yes, I am.
My father is a Morehouse man.
He is.
Yeah,
okay.
My father.
How old is he?
Oh, well, he passed away 5 years ago. So he would be 70. Yeah.
I may have known.
Yeah, he would be. William. William Pruden. Yeah.
William Pruden. Okay. I got to talk to my buddies too, because they make me remember who I forget. And so I'm saying that to say that this is on the ground floor, and it's like the difference between there are a lot of other air purifiers out there, but they don't do what this one does, and a lot of them have not been FDA approved, and they are just they're the difference between a Mercedes Benz and a Rolls Royce.
Okay.
And I'm really giving them more substance than I should be giving them by saying Mercedes Benz.
Well, let me say a Chevrolet. Okay. Let me say this here. Have you all shipped my necklace yet?
Yes, he did.
Okay, so he should be arriving today or tomorrow, right?
Within 3 days. Also, everyone, within 3 days, the units and the necklaces you guaranteed to get within that time.
Okay, now Henry, one more time. Explain a necklace. Now, what is it? It's a necklace that a man or woman can wear. You wear it on the outside. You wear it on the inside. What is it made out of? And you're saying that within 4 feet it'll kill the virus if any virus come within 4 feet to you. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and you wear it around your neck, and it resembles like, you know, the ladies like to look good when they go out, you know.
Okay.
We like to look good too, but, you know, we really don't care in terms of it being an addendum to our outfit. You know, that's you, Cliff.
Okay.
You're the one. You're the dress horse. So,
okay. All right.
So,
okay.
So it does that. The main thing that it does is that it protects just like the portables or the installed machines do. It destroys the SARS-CoV-2 virus. That's what you wanted to do. Destroy that virus before it gets to you. And with the new strains that are out, it destroys that. You know, and a lot of people are not talking about that, and a lot of people are not aware of that. I've been fortunate to hook my people that confronted me with it, and to four major people that I have out of New York, Jackson, Mississippi, Indiana, and Chicago, Chris. So it's not only is it groundbreaking, man, it's more important to me than saving lives. I've lost some people. It's to go back to, I think it was you, Cliff, or someone, it was, might have been Mike, mentioned that, yeah, it was Mike. When you go on that ventilator.
Ventilator, yeah.
Yeah, it's most people that I know have gone on a ventilator. I've lost three people. But one brother that I knew that went on a ventilator, he works as security guard for Chicago Public Schools. He said, Hank, when I went in, I was 59. When I came out, I was 60. I said, what do you mean? He said, my back and my stomach was hurting. And the nurse took care of me, and I went to sleep. I woke up, and I had something in my arm, and I looked. I said, what is this? She said, well, we're putting you to sleep. What they did was put him to sleep so they could put him on a ventilator. God was with him. He came out of it. He had to go to ICU for 14 days, and he had to go to rehab for 14 days and learn how to walk all over again. They had to take a tube out of his throat, and they had to take the catheter out of – everyone knows where the catheter goes. And they called him 3 weeks later and said that stomach ache and back ache was cancer. You need to get you back in here right away and operate for colon cancer. And he went back in, and on Facebook today, he had a praise report that it is not returned at all. It's gone. So he's one of the few that made it. He is a black guy. Yeah. He's one of the few that made it. You know, everybody I've lost from this was black. And to talk about what to mention what Candace said about, you know, she had some pertinent questions, man. That it's wiping out of the black and brown people, you know. But here's the worst part of us drinking. We're drinking the Kool-Aid, and I think all of you know what I mean when I say we're drinking the Kool-Aid. Going back to the Jim Jones and the Guyana massacre in 1978, when he had a lot of people following him, and they drank the Kool-Aid with cyanide in it. Me and three of my buddies, on January the 25th, this past Monday, we went to Walmart to get the vaccine. Four of us were black. 20 of them were white. In the hood, 83rd and Stewart. What's wrong with that picture, everybody? Okay. I know what's wrong with that picture. It was a small story today talking about the white masses are coming to the black hood to get the vaccines, and therefore we don't have enough to get.
Because we
don't turn each other on to something, you know, like, hey man, they're giving vaccines. If you call and make an appointment, they'll take you this week. That's what we did, and that's how four of us ended up there.
Well, you know, Henry, let me say this here, because all this today on the national news, they were talking about people who have driven thousands of miles, okay, to get that vaccine. And here we are right here in our hood, and we don't go get it. So the white boys know about it, so they coming to get it, okay? And that's going to be the same situation with me telling these people about this machine that cleans the virus, this necklace that kills the virus, but until white men tell them, they ain't going to believe us. You have a lot of black people who still have the white man on their neck, and until the white man say it, they are not going to believe it. Okay? They're just not going to believe it. The white man's ice is not colder than our ice. Let's take a few phone calls, Candace. Can we take a few phone calls?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, here we go. Caller 9884, you're live on the air. Just say it. Caller, last four digits of your phone number is 98. Yeah, hi.
How you feeling? All right. Well, you know, this whole COVID, this COVID thing is a very interesting phenomenon. Because, you know, as we know, the black community is confused on information in terms of the different medicines that they're coming with, saying, you know, people don't really understand what's what because they're not reading the information. I think it becomes, it's like a learning curve. You know, if you don't want to know, you can stay ignorant, but you have to research it. If you want,
okay,
really
sir,
want to know something.
Let me ask you, what's your name and where you calling from?
My name is Will, and I'm calling from the north side of Chicago.
Okay, go ahead, Will. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the reality is that a lot of places across America, in the black community, people are not responding to it. Now, again, it's a paranoia because, you know, after Trump been in office, people don't trust Trump or the people that was around him. So they're wondering if the people who handle the drugs are part of Trump's entourage. So, you know, it's getting that learning curve up, knowing about what it does, you know. So, again, one of our things is, you know, we don't like to read. And so when you don't read, you can't find out anything. So
now, let me ask you one more question. How did you end up listening to our radio show?
Well, you know, really, I was supposed to be coming on earlier, but I got a call from my sister who's in the hospital. And so I couldn't get in on the call, so she was asking me questions. And I couldn't hang up on her because she just got in the hospital. So, you know, I was supposed to call in at 4:45. But, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, what we're talking about in terms of this whole medical situation. You know, now there is a videotape out that Tyler Perry did with two black doctors on YouTube, and they kind of break down what the whole thing. They say this is a SARS thing, that they use the same stuff, pretty similar to Ebola, to create the Ebola vaccine. Well, they're using pretty much the same stuff they did to create the Ebola vaccine to deal with this vaccine, because they're all what they call a SARS disease. So, you know, again, like I say, our people just have to read, you know. And unless they don't read, they're going to just take all of what they hear. And a lot of times when you take what you hear, it's a little ignorant. You know, you have to.
Okay, thank you very much. Candace, and we got another phone call.
Yeah, thank you for your time. Welcome live. You're live on the Just Say It with Candace, but Just the Chicago Show with Clifton Pierce. And Candace, you're live. Oh, caller, that caller just hung up. Jeez. Hope they come back on. We had another caller and something happened. So, you know.
Is Mr. Cosby there yet?
Mr. Cosby? Press 1. I would love to speak to you if you're on the phone about reparations. We're doing so many things with this initiative.
I'm very disappointed.
Yeah,
me too.
Excuse me, Cliff. I don't know if Mr. Cosby was on there, but we were talking about how I thought that the first step in reparations is to admit that you did something wrong, and you were saying something about Trump, but we got cut off. I never heard your point.
What I was saying was that while he was in office, Trump was going, they were saying that he was going to pardon himself and all his family members, okay? But he decided not to do that because in order to pardon yourself, you're saying that you did something wrong. So therefore,
right.
he was wide open for impeachment. So he's taking his chances now by going to court. But had he pleaded and ask for a pardon for all his family, you only pardon somebody if they did something wrong. So that's a gamble he's taking. But as you know, as of today, all of his attorneys have quit. Okay, Giuliani, everybody, he has no attorneys. And right now, he and the Vice President Pence, they don't have no place to live. Nobody wants Pence in Indiana. And the people down there in Mar-a-Lago, they don't want Trump down there. And they're scared to come back to New York or they're going to indict him. So he's caught between a rock and a hard spot.
I thought Pence did the best he could. I thought Pence did the best he could with what he had. I really do. That's
well,
just my
opinion.
What
happened there? See,
I mean,
what
just,
happened there?
You know.
Hey, look.
What's
you know
happened
what?
There is that Trump is very intimidating.
Okay,
Trump is very intimidating. and he intimidated a lot of those people. Have we got another phone call, dear?
Not yet, not yet. And speaking of an apology, I guess I want to use this time to. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. I'll wait.
Can I say one thing, Candace, real quick? Mr. Gregory, can I give you my number so you can give me a call? I have an independent artist that I would like you to take a look at. Can I just give you my number and you call me when we get off the call, please? Hello?
Were you talking to Greg?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're talking
to
me.
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
Okay,
Greg,
I'm going to let you speak up for a minute. Your last message that you want to give everybody about how they can get in touch with you and how you might want to set up a place where they can actually finance you and help you in some of your endeavors.
Okay, my name is Lewis Gregory. My number is area code 414-292-5848. I'm going to say it again. 414-292-5848. Give me a call if I don't answer, leave a message, and that's for everyone. Investors, anyone who want to network, get in contact, want to know business, music business, give me a call.
Okay, Gregory, what I want to say to you, too, also is that in February, we're going to be filming my pilot show, so I'd like for you to sit in on that, you know, with your background and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to invite you to come to Chicago and sit in with us on that one.
I appreciate it. Yes, I accept your offer. Thank you.
All right. And tell that boy I'm going to play his record because I've already been listening to it. I'm going to post that big old boy.
I'm listening to you.
I hear you, country boy. Yeah. And listen, not only that, you know what? I'm going to have you come back as well, man, because you got a hell of a history as to what happened to you and your family, your foreparents, about the land that y'all got beat out of.
I want to give shouts out to Chicago because Chicago is second home. I got to tell you, too, I am at 5 years old. My mother and father joined the nation. We used to go to Chicago, Farrakhan. I got taught between Muhammad Ali and Farrakhan. So I got a history. When I joined the service, I was stationed with Colin Powell. Hey, every day, three times a day, he gave me a lot of information of how the government and everything. So I'm like I said, I got a book for you. I'm going to write a book before I leave this earth because I've met a lot of people, came across a lot of people, and they're well known now. And my life has been a book, and I thank God for it. And also, too, I want to network with community because, like I said, I just got a loan from Northwestern for my TV. We're about the community, and we want to help those who in need. So that's first. I want to give back to my community.
All right. So we'll be talking back to you then again. Thanks a lot, too, Mr. Gregory. You were a great, great guest, great interview. And let me say this here is that sometimes I wonder myself, do I want to bother with this radio show? But we give people so much information that they ordinarily wouldn't have that I just got to stay here. We got to stay here, Candace. Because we're doing God's will. We're teaching our people. We're taking care of our people, okay? And what we do is we don't tell nobody what to talk about. We just hand them the mic and let them talk. Now, I was looking for Sharon Lewis to come on, but evidently she's busy. But I want to tell you about Sharon. Sharon has partnered with Commonwealth Edison. And what is going on is that Edison has a program where they will put lights on your porch for you for free. So if you got block clubs in the city of Chicago, y'all get together and call Commonwealth Edison and get lights put all on your porches so your street won't be dark and darkened anymore. And I want to say a big shout-out to all our people in Chicago, all my people. I want to definitely say a shout-out to all the haters because that's what makes me great, you know. And we started this in August, and now we are going into February, and we're still here, Candace.
Yes. Praise God.
Yeah.
I just want to tell everybody. Absolutely. Absolutely. You guys tune in to, next week, same time, same place. And this is, I keep forgetting my book. I did write a book, you know, over the pandemic called Dreamland. If anybody wants to check it out, go to www.dreamlandnovel.com. And that's it, Cliff. Send that back over to you.
Okay. Well, once again, I want to thank all of our guests. They were great guests, all full of information and everything. And I'm new at this thing here. But you got God on your side. It'll work itself out. Henry, what you want to say before you go, my friend?
I want to just be able to hit it to hang it up. Okay, it don't matter.
Have we got anybody on the phone line, Candace?
We have quite a few people. If anybody wants to say anything tonight before we end this session, please just go ahead and say it. Here's your time. Press 1 on the dial tone, too, so I can unmute you. If you just want to say hi or whatever.
Yeah, just press 1 and say hello to us. Ms. Sylvester, Ms. Boards, just press 1 and say hi. You guys are doing a great thing or you're doing a bad thing. Just press 1 and let them know that you're out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go. Okay, there we go. Hi, welcome.
Hey,
tell us about yourself. Who are we? How are you?
Yeah, my name is Maurice Bowyer, and I've been knowing Candace for a long time. She's invited me on the show. I've been listening for a few weeks. I appreciate the invite, and you guys are doing a great job putting a lot of good information out there.
Okay. That's what
Morris, why don't you tell them? I know. Tell them about what you're doing in the community in Dania Beach, Florida. You and your brother. They're running your organization.
Yeah. So what we doing out here? We doing a lot of community service work out here in Dania Beach. We're the first city in Broward County. It was founded in 1904. And we do a lot of, especially during this pandemic time, we work along with Feeding South Florida. And we just give away a lot of food in the community as far as homeless people. We do toy drives for kids. We do a lot of different things to give back to the community. And as well as, my brother ran, for politics. He ran for commissioner. I'll be running for commissioner in the next year. So we're doing a lot of great work. We feed seniors. We work along with the Broward Sheriff's Office. And we feed seniors. And so we're doing a lot of great things out here. And we look forward to continue to do great things out here. But I like what you guys are doing for the city of Chicago. It's great. I hear the different people you have coming on, so I'm staying listening. I like what the ladies doing with the light pole.
You want to see if you can get that down there in Dania Beach? You talk to Clifton.
Yeah, that's great. Andy, you know how to get in touch with him, right?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we're gonna see if we can get that on a national level. Absolutely. Okay, we got any more phone calls?
We do. We got some more. Thank you, Mort. Thank you, Goldman. Morris, live. You're live on the air.
Got 1 minute. Everybody got 1 minute. Come on.
Okay, caller 8733. You're live on the air. How are you? 8733. You're live on the air. You have something to say? Okay, going down the line. I just unmuted you. Hi, welcome, caller 3671. You are live. What do you want to tell us tonight?
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, each of you. Good afternoon, Candace. Good afternoon, Cliff. This is Monique Grant, and I'd like to speak to the gentleman who's from Dania Beach, Florida. I lived in Dania Beach for 30 years, Dania and Hollywood, right off of Pippin Road, right across the street from Addicts Middle School. Do you know where Addicts is?
Well,
that's
what it is.
Yes.
Okay, I lived in Dania and Hollywood for over 30 years. My sister just won the commissioner's position. She's the first black female commissioner for the city of Hollywood. Her name is Glenda Hill-Anderson, or Linda Anderson. And for what you're doing in South Florida, in Hollywood, Dania, she was born and raised in Hollywood. I would like you to reach out to Linda Anderson, if you would, please. And my name is Monique, and you tell her that you met her sister online.
Okay, I will.
Okay. All right, sounds good. And that's my number one assistant. I guess y'all know that. Okay, who else we got, baby? Come on.
Hi, Monique.
Hi,
yes.
Hi, Cliff.
Hi.
Gentlemen from
how
Asia,
are you?
What is your name?
Say what, Monique?
Morris Goldwire.
Morris. Morris Goldwire.
Morris
Goldwire.
We're friends on Facebook.
Yes.
I'm Monique Grant. We're friends on Facebook.
Okay. Good,
wow.
good.
Okay.
All right.
Give me another call.
See.
Give me another call.
I mean, you know what? That's it. No one else has lit up. You know, this is last chance. Last chance, callers. Anything you want to tell us tonight? Say hi or whatever.
Sorry,
press one.
Excuse me, Candace.
Yes.
Morris, are you Herbert's brother?
Yes, Herbert. Yes. Yes, Monique. That's Herbert's
okay,
brother.
Morris, you're Herbert's brother. I'm friends with Herbert on Facebook. I thought about it. I said, no, I'm not friends with Morris. I'm friends with his brother. But anyway, again,
mm-hmm.
I lived in Hollywood, Dania Beach for 30 years. So get in touch, please, with my sister, Linda Hill. Or Linda Anderson.
Oh wow, that's amazing! It's a small world,
okay.
Herbert. Yeah,
small
Herbert
world.
Is he's the one that. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, see, we're connecting people. Cliff,
snap somebody else.
All right, anybody else want to say something? Going once, going twice. Press one. Cliff, I guess we gotta try it again next week.
Okay, honey.
Yeah.
On behalf of Just the Chicago, my talk show, along with my co-host Candace, again, we've done it. We've been very informative, and I hope a lot of people learn from some of the things we talked about. I appreciate having Doc on every week to give us a report on the COVID and everything. And I'm just saying that our show, Candace, does what radio should do, and that's inform the people. So without further ado, I'm going to say good night to all of you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And get ready because we're going to be bringing that bracelet and we're going to be bringing that COVID cleaner to the Chicagoland area. Right on. Henry, thank you.
Good night, Cliff.
Thank
good
you,
night,
everyone.
Cliff.
Good night. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Wake up! It's time for Just Chicago's Neighborhood Talk with Clifton Pierce. A Canon Media and Axe Entertainment Artists, Inc. production.